You may be seated. At this point, I would like to invite Joe Nardone up.
Of course. Very much.
Good morning, Concord.
Good morning.
It's really a joy, a pleasure, and an honor to have an opportunity to share with you a little bit this morning. Before I start, I would like to offer up a prayer. So if you would join me. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray for the Holy Spirit's presence now in this place. Dear God, that these be your words, not my words. That God and his Son, Jesus Christ, be glorified, and that all of us are encouraged and challenged by your word for us today, so that we can minister your love to a desperately hurting world. Amen. Thank you. So I had the opportunity to share this earlier this morning, and after I was finished with that, Cindy and I were talking, and reminded me of a story we had heard many, many years ago of a guy who was walking the beach. And as he was walking along the beach, he came upon a section where there were literally hundreds and thousands of starfish that were just littered across the beach. And he would bend down and he would pick one up and he would throw it back into the ocean and walk, and he'd pick up another one and he'd throw it back into the ocean. And there was a kid up on the boardwalk who shouted down, "Hey, old man, what are you doing? That doesn't make a difference." And the old man bent down again and picked one up and he threw it out of the ocean. He said, "Made a difference to that one." And that's really, I think, at the heart of what I want to share with you today. My name is Joe. You are my church family, and I am I love you all so much. You are so, so dear to me and to my family. And one of the reasons why you are so dear is that you reached out to us. You reached out to me and my family and welcomed us into Concord Church when my mom was very, very ill. This is going back close to 50 years ago. I was probably 11 years old at the time. I've been a member here at Concord for 35 years. Cindy, we've been married 37. We're married here in June. 37 years ago, but Concord Church was having a healing service here, and Annabelle Hummel knew my mom was ill with five children, and they welcomed and invited her here for a service that changed her life, changed my life, changed my entire family's life, and probably led, if we knew, if we could count them all, probably led hundreds or thousands, literally, of souls to Christ. And so what we're here to talk about today is the past, the present, and the future, and what God wants us to know about him and his call for us. Now, before I start, I do want to encourage all of us to have special appreciation for those who minister to us in our church every day. Our pastors, all of our support teams, sound teams, janitors, secretaries, accompanists, Every single one of those individuals serves us in so many important ways. If you haven't thanked your choir director in a while, please do so. And if you're ever asked to do something, whether it's deliver a message or to serve a lesson or a plan, please do so. This process is very eye-opening. It takes a lot of energy and a lot of commitment in order for your pastoral team to serve you. And in doing the service, it creates a context for us personally that helps us appreciate what they do. So what's the message about? Well, about a month ago, our youth came back from Jamonville with a message of revival for our church. And in that message was some personal responsibility and then a charge. And this revival message was for our church. I don't mean Concord Church. Yes, Concord Church. But God's church. Every church. And so when I began to prepare this message, I was looking at how do we do revival. I like doing. If you know me, you know I like to do. I like checklists. I like having all these things laid out and personal responsibility to get this done. And God revealed to me that we don't do revival. God does revival. God brings us closer to Him in His love, and it's our responsibility to be in relationship with Him in order to receive revival. Our responsibility is to be in love with God. Revival is God bringing His people to Him in love. Being in love with God, He's certainly in love with us, in love with you, even with me. So what is the nature of this God love, this love that's pulling us to Him? Do you know? I mean, I thought I knew, and that's part of the problem, right? Mark Twain is often credited with saying, "It ain't what you don't know that gets you into trouble. It's what you know for sure that just ain't so." And as I was preparing, I began to think about and consider what I had read about God's love in the past. And I remembered that there was some scripture that said something like, God blesses those who love Him to the third or fourth generation, and that He curses those who hate Him until the seventh generation. I mean, that was the book according to Joe, right? Makes sense, though. Carrot, stick. You get some reward for loving God. You get some punishment if you hate God. Actually, you get twice the punishment if you hate God. So I was thinking about this love, and I was thinking, well, so if you're not good, you get generations of punishment, or love, in fact, in that case. And if you love God, you get love for generations. So I started searching for this passage, and it was revealed to me this message about the nature of our God who brings us to Him in revival. I'm going to read Exodus 20:1-6. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. And you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth or beneath the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents. Here comes the good part, right? Punishing the children for the sins of the parents to the third and fourth generation for those who hate me. Oh, wait. But showing love to 1,000 generations. 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. So, punishment four generations, love for 1,000 generations. That's some kind of crazy love. Revival is about God's crazy love for us. Obviously, this passage is from the beginning of the Ten Commandments. And a commentator, Bruce Hurt, shares, that these aren't instructions about how to get free or out of Egypt. These are rules for a free people to stay free. And they weren't given to us so that we could earn our salvation. In other words, salvation is not the reward for obedience. Salvation is the reason for obedience. Because we love God. So many people think that the Ten Commandments are about punishment. Instead, it's God revealing his crazy love for each of us. If you were here last month at Jamonville Sunday, you heard our youth coming back in relationship with God and in love with God. They brought revival to our church. Just like Concord Church, like all of you did, like Annabelle Hummel did to my mother and my family almost 50 years ago. Because Christian Cater was right. God is not about making bad people good. God is about making dead people alive, alive in his love. Brett Thumm also read out of Ezekiel that day. He talked about making dry bones come to life. He talked about Ezekiel being told to prophesy and talk to those bones. And Ezekiel said, "So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life and stood up on their feet a vast army. A vast army of witness to God's love. That's the future. God is drawing his people to him in love, raising them, putting his spirit into their dry bones. He is making dead people come to life. We have to receive revival. And sin and comfort, these are enemies of revival. So is being busy or being distracted. We need to repent, turn from the world, and turn to faith and to loving God. Being in love with God means being in worship, being in prayer, in fellowship, and in relationship with God. Why is God doing this? Because our witness, it is an encouragement to the world who is lost and hurting. We are a light in the darkness. Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. A church on a hill cannot be hidden. Do not be afraid to show that you are a Christian in love with God. You are the light of the world. Not your pastor. Not your brother-in-law. You reached out to us, to me, and made a difference to that one. In closing, be in love with God. He's already in love with you. Share Christ's love because of the freedom that we have in the love of God and his Son, Jesus Christ. Continue to be a bright light to a lost and hopeless world. Amen. Church, as we prepare to leave and we go out into the world, I pray that you go in peace to love and to serve. Have a wonderful, blessed Sunday. And a powerful, saving week. Amen.